You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
Thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring to everyone who wants to listen this gift of living in the divine will through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, as contained in the Book of Heaven. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are indeed so blessed. We're grateful. We're really grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And we're truly blessed to be alive at this time. I'd like to begin with prayer, as we always do, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. Supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31, the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think it's Pope Francis in 2020 or 2022 who said, School of Mary, he wasn't referring to us, of course. The School of Mary teaches well the ABCs of our faith and our life. And if we think about also Mother, Article 507, I think it is of our catechism, it states, again, I don't have it in front of me, but it states something to the effect of Mary is the perfect example, the perfect model of our church. So how could we not want to emulate our Blessed Mother? And what a grave loss for our other brothers and sisters, our Christian brothers and sisters that fail to recognize Mary the way Jesus wants us to recognize her. So Mother, sisters, welcome back. It's great to have you. And I'm so happy today. I don't know why. I had no sleep. Maybe that's why I'm so happy.
Hello, everybody. Nice to be back here. Our Lady is a great intercessor. We have to go to her. She brings us to Jesus. And she wants us to love her Son so much. You know, she'll do anything to get us there. And she will help us to live in the divine will. She is the mediatrix of all graces and co-redemptrix. And even though the church hasn't proclaimed that part yet, you know, she is. We know that. And she suffered everything with Jesus in a mystical, spiritual way. She suffered terribly. So in that sense, she is co-redemptrix. But she... back to God through Our Lady, and so we have to just depend on her so much. She's a loving, kind mother, and she wants us to live in the divine will more than we want it. We have a little prayer we say three times a day. I think it's in the divine will writings. I don't know if you know where that is, Peter, that little prayer when we ask Our Lady to take us, huh?
It's in Our Lady's book.
It's in Our Lady's book. You know where in Our Lady's book?
I think it's in the very beginning before the meditation even starts.
The little prayer that you say three times a day to ask Our Lady to help you to live in the divine will, and she will. I was just reading volume 16 here, December 29th, 1923, about how do we live totally in divine will. I think the only way the Lord is telling me to do that is to be aware of His presence throughout the day, to call Him into my activities throughout the day, making that little prayer in the morning, asking Him to do everything in and through me. Many times during the day, I forget to ask Him to do things in and through me. But I know because I said that little prayer in the morning, and if everything I'm doing through the day is according to His will, I know He's doing it in me. It says here in volume 16, it says, don't you know that between me and you, and He's speaking not only to Luisa, but to each one of us, there is an eternal bond that binds us together, and that neither you nor I can detach ourselves, since what is eternal enters into me and becomes inseparable from me. All the acts we have done together in my will are eternal acts, just as eternal is my will. Therefore, you have something of your own in me, and I have of my own in you. An eternal vein flows in you, which renders us inseparable. And the more you continue and multiply your acts in my will, the more you take part in that which is eternal. So as we do acts and rounds in his divine will, he's in us and we're in him. And we've got something that's eternal in us, because only God can do eternal acts. We can't do eternal acts. Eternal acts are divine will acts. They have no beginning and no end. They are eternal. They exist forever. And they give honor and glory to God the Father forever, without ever stopping. You know, we can't do divine acts and divine rounds, but we can only want to. We desire to do them. God does them for us. We're like little kids. You call this the kindergarten of divine will, but we are like little children. We can't do anything. We only desire to do them, and he does it for us. We desire to put our I love yous and everything in creation. We have the desire. Jesus does it for us. We saw this priest recently. Actually, he's Tony Hickey's spiritual director, very holy priest. And he was telling us that I didn't realize that when the priest consecrates at the Mass, it's not him. He desires the body and blood of Jesus to come into the elements. Because he desires it, Jesus does it. The priest doesn't consecrate. Jesus consecrates through the priest by his desire. And, you know, in Medjugorje, they have thousands of people every night. And they don't have all the host on the altar. They have ciboriums on the side somewhere waiting to come to the altar when it's time to give out communion. And he said that whatever host the priest desires to be consecrated are consecrated at that Mass. They don't have to be on the corporal. They don't even have to be on the altar if he desires for them to be consecrated. So that's how they can have these big, big arenas of people for Mass, special Masses, even in stadiums. They've had Masses with thousands and thousands of people. So it's just like we desire Jesus to do acts in us. And in a sense, we're in that priesthood, in not like the priest is. The priest is the only one who can bring down the body and blood of Jesus and the elements through his desire to do so. We desire Jesus to do acts and rounds in us in the same way as the priest does at Mass. He does them in us by our desire to do that, you know, but we have to desire it. And even a priest is saying Mass, he says, and he doesn't desire to bring about the body and blood of Jesus in the elements. It doesn't happen. The priest has to desire it. So have to make sure you go to a Mass with a holy good priest. You never know what they desire. But anyway,
my mother, just on that point also, but yeah, and that used to be we used to hear a lot of feedback about, oh, this priest did this, priest did that. But Our Lady, I don't know where it is. Maybe sisters can help me out here. Somewhere in the volumes, Jesus says, or no, it's Our Blessed Mother. Maybe it's in the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom. She says that don't worry about the priest, what he is or what he is not. She said something to the effect that when the priest consecrates the host, and as our Lord comes down through the hands of the priest, she says, even if that priest has issues, I'll leave it at that, after our Lord passes through the hands of the priest, he passes through the hands of Our Lady, which acts as a purifier. So she says, don't worry. Every Mass will be valid as long as the act of the words of consecration are made. Don't worry about the priest. So that's a great.
As long as the priest desires it and he does the word, says the right words. Yeah, it's valid. You know, it does. You don't have to worry about the holiness of the priest. If the priest desires to bring about the body and blood of Jesus in the elements, it happens, you know, and it's not according to how holy they are. That's the gift of the priesthood, ordination through ordination, their holy orders. You know, that happens, you know. But anyway, it's just to say that when we desire to have Jesus do acts in us and rounds in us, it actually happens through our desire. Yeah, so we have to know that. We have to know that. You know?
Two important things also there, Mother, to do. We have to ask for it, just like what we were saying. You know, we have to ask for this. God waits for us to ask for this. And also, you were mentioning about the common priesthood. That's one of the great benefits of Vatican II. They sort of brought back that phrase, that the common priesthood. That's the priesthood of Adam. That's the priesthood of Eve. Right. And that's what we all enjoin in, again, separate from the ministerial priesthood, who actually work for the common priesthood, but no pun intended there. But we're all common priests, male, female.
Well, we're God's children. He's the king. We're his children. We inherit everything he has. He gives us everything, you know. God is so gracious and so kind to us, you know. And you know, when you go to Mass, it's what you put into the Mass. It's what, you know, put your whole heart and soul and mind in the Mass, and you're going to get a lot out of it. Don't worry about the priests. Don't worry about the homilies or anything. Just enjoy every moment of the Mass, and you're going to get a lot out of it. You're going to get a lot of grace. It's just like after communion. You're going to get as much in receiving the body and blood of Jesus as you meditate on his real presence within. If you don't, you just receive him and don't even think about him. He can't really work on your soul. He's food and medicine for your soul. And he can't really transform you unless you allow him to, you know. So, you know, some people are concerned about the music at the Mass. Well, you know, just put your mind and heart even into the music, whether you like it or not. I think you get to enjoy it that way, to realize God is in everything. God is everywhere. God is in everything. God is allowing everything. Well, you know, what's happening to you right now is what is God's will for you right now, whatever's happening to you right now. If you happen to be at a Mass with loud music that you don't like, God is allowing that in your life. So if you accept it and say, thank you, Jesus, for this music, you're going to appreciate it. You're going to love it, and you're going to get a lot out of it, you know. So it's the way we think about things. You know, my Mother Angelica say, mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. The reason why things matter is because we mind. But if we stop minding so much, like we can be happy and content, you know. Anyway, if anybody else wants to share anything before I go
like
on.
Well, first of all, really quickly, I like the music. I mean, I've attended Nigerian churches where the music is incredible. I mean, it's native. But again, it's not done to disfigure the Mass, actually to enhance it. And again, that's what's beautiful also in Vatican II, as they allowed the different vernaculars to be present in the different countries. Again, God, you know, like our Blessed Mother, when she appears in Asia, she looks a bit Asian. When she appears in Africa, she looks a bit African. I mean, Our Lady is for all, Our Lord is for all, and we have to remember that.
And she speaks in her apparition, she speaks in their dialect, in their language, in their dialect. In the Orient, she looks Oriental. Right. In Africa, she looks African. Some, you know, so it's God is all things to all people, you know, and we have to be that way too. All things to all people, and be content in every situation. That's living in divine will, accepting everyone, with the heart of Jesus, you know. So I think that the more we get into the divine will, the more we're going to enjoy everything, the more we're going to be at peace with everything, the more things don't bother us the same, because we're always united to God in his holy divine will, no matter what's happening to us at that moment.
Amen. Hello, Sister Gemma.
Hello, Peter. Hello, everyone. No, I didn't go anywhere. I was here.
Oh, well, welcome, stay.
Thank you. What Mother was saying is so true. The Blessed Mother is a mother, and a mother, what does a mother do for the child? Everything. And the child depends completely on what the mother does, because the child doesn't know any better. So it's there, and the mother has to do everything. And so we have to have the same attitude with the Virgin Mary, with our mother, because she is our mother, and she's there to look after us in every single aspect, in every.
You froze a bit there, Sister. But when she's mentioned about our mother.
Everywhere. So we have to leave the priests.
Okay, we're fine now. I think we're back.
And I was saying that you, Peter, mentioned that the priest, it doesn't matter if it's holy or if it's not holy, Jesus come through that priest anyway during the Mass or during the sacraments. But I was reading today on the Passion Book on the fourth hour, how Jesus suffered when he was prostrating in front of Judah. And I read the passage that it says, I, my child, I want all souls, and prostrate at their feet like a poor beggar, I ask for them, I importune them, and crying, I plot love traps around them in order to obtain them. Prostrate at their feet, with this bucket of water mixed with my tears, I want to wash them of any imperfection and prepare them to receive me in the sacrament. And when I was reading this part, the word prostrate really stayed with me because, I mean, God, who is God, our creator, prostrate on our feet. Now, here it says prostrate at Judas' feet, but it's to all of us. He prostrated to all of us every time we fall, every time we sin, especially when we do mortal sin. And he's, if we could see, I think we'll see Jesus prostrate on our feet, asking, please come back to me. And then later on, he say, tell me what you want. I'll give you everything you want, but just come back to me like a loving father. Because he loves us so much, and I want all souls. So he doesn't want just consecrated souls or the most saint souls. No, he wants everyone. He wants the most sinner souls that are in the world. Even the person who killed I don't know how many people, he wants that soul too. So that it's important for us to pray for all souls, especially for sinners, for the conversion of sinners, because for God, for Jesus, is a big deal. A soul is not something very small. It's really a big deal, and he suffers every time a soul decided to go to hell. He suffered tremendously, so we really have to pray for the conversion of sinners. And then in the same passage later it say, my child, oh, please, I beg you with the voice of my tears, do not go to hell. Give me your soul, which I ask for you, prostrate at your feet. Tell me, what do you want? What do you demand? I will give you everything, provided that you do not lose yourself. So, yeah, we have to think every time we fall in, we sin. Remember that when we are in confession, Jesus is there cleaning us, preparing us to receive him in the Blessed Sacrament, because he wants to nourish us. He directly, God, our creator, want to give in nourishment, and that nourishment is himself. He wants to come in us. But in order to take all the effect of that nourishment, we have to be clean, we have to be pure, and that we will do, we will have that purification through confession. So it's important to go to confession and to be ready to receive him. And the more pure we are and clean we are, the more we can get the effect of the Blessed Sacrament, of the Eucharist that we receive, and that we can receive every day if we want. So it's up to us.
Yeah, that's so true, sister. You know, the efficacy of God's grace and graces is all predicated on our disposition. I mean, God always gives us full throttle, full force, full grace, and it only gets diminished because of us. So, yeah, being in the state, well, that's just like Mother, for the gift of living in the divine will, Jesus tells us there's really only four requirements, basically. Well, first of all, he says, anyone in the state of grace who has a desire and an upright intention, wanting this for the right reasons, he guarantees he's going to give them the gift. Now, this doesn't mean that they're given the gift like Louisa had, you know, in completeness, in totality. No, but we're in out of the elements. We're into the foyer, let's say, of the house. So anyone can receive that gift. In fact, he said it. I don't know, have the volume in front of me. He said, I had to make this easy and accessible to all. In all situations, all conditions, and all circumstances. Because think about it, God wants this for everyone. So how can this be only for those who have this education, for those who have this wealth? No, it's for everybody. And he says that this is for everyone unless they do not want it. So again, goes right back to our free will. Mother?
Hey.
Hello, Sister Francesca.
Hey, Peter.
Do you remember that game Hot Potato when we used to play?
Yeah.
Or the what's the one with the music stops? No, that's musical chairs I'm talking about. But
that's you used to pass
this thing around like a time bomb, right? And when the music stopped, you're out. Well, thank God you're not out. You're in.
Yeah, just like as a kid, I froze when the music stopped. I froze and I got past the microphone. Now I remember what I was going to say. Thank you for that little delay, Peter. You bought me a little time. I was thinking when you were saying, you know, we're not given it in its fullness like Louisa. That's why our intention is so important. Like, he really wants our desire to give up our human will totally to him. And I've been reflecting and praying with this a lot. It's not that we actually do it. I mean, I'm still very much attached to my human will in a lot of ways, but the Lord takes that desire for us to want to give us his human will. He knows we're not free enough to give it totally, but he at least wants that yearning on our part. And then little by little, he continues through various purifications and circumstances of life, through prayer, through the sacraments, to little by little free our human will more and more, to purify it more and more so that we can continue in reality to actually give him our human will. So really the ball, once we give him our desire, the ball is in his court, and he leads us along the way to be able to give ourselves as a gift in a more deeper way. So that's actually fits right in with my passage, because it's all about, you know, how the Lord doesn't let miseries and weaknesses stop him from giving us the gift, which is, you know, always very comforting. It's from volume 35, December 25th, 1937. And Jesus tells us through Louisa, "This is why I do not want you to worry about your weaknesses, your troubles, or the evils you suffer. Indeed, the more the soul thinks about those things, the weaker she feels. And the more the poor soul feels overwhelmed by evils, while her miseries press in upon her all the more strongly. The more the soul thinks of her weaknesses, the more they feed upon each other, making her fall lower and lower. Evil brings to affect her more deeply, and her miseries reduce her to spiritual starvation. But if she doesn't think about these things, they disappear by themselves." Isn't that nice? "Goodness works in just the opposite way. One good deed feeds another. One act of love inspires more love. One act of abandonment in my will makes a soul feel new divine life within her. That is why thinking of good things gives souls the food and the power to do more good. This is why I want your thinking to be totally focused on loving me and living in my will. My love will burn all your miseries and all your evils, and my divine will shall become your life, using your miseries as the base on which to raise its throne." Oh, isn't that just so comforting? He's going to use our miseries as the base on which to raise its throne. So we really have nothing to fear. When I read this passage, I was picturing the scene in the gospel when Jesus calls Peter to come out and walk on the water, and he's walking out on the water, he's looking at Jesus, and then all of a sudden the storms rise up, the winds rise up, and Peter starts to look at the winds, and that's when he starts to sink. And I think that's what we do when we start looking at our miseries and, you know, whatever, you know, negative circumstances of our life are happening around us. When we start to focus on that, we're looking at the storms and we start to sink. And this is just the devil's tactic, especially for those of us who are really in a sincere, you know, journey in the divine will, who really want to, you know, grow in our unity with the Lord. He's not really going to win in getting us to fall into serious sin, you know, through the grace of God. So what does he do? He goes in the other end. He goes in through scrupulosity. He goes in through having us look at ourselves. I mean, Jesus just kind of wants to throw that all away and just saying, you know, focus on me. Yes, you have miseries. Yes, you have weaknesses. Just give me your desire. Give me your will. Give me your yearning to want to live in my will, and I'm going to take care of all the rest. And how does he make our miseries and our weaknesses the basis for living in his will? What better way to grow in humility? We have to be humble. We have to be nothing. We have to rely totally, totally, totally in a radical way on the Lord. And, you know, we have these great things, miseries and weaknesses, that are the perfect medicine for that. Not that we rejoice in our sins, not that we rejoice in our falls and rejoice in our imperfections, but we rejoice in the fact that God can use them to bring out a greater good, to bring us to true humility, and to bring us into greater trust in him.
Right. And also be prepared too, when Satan can't get us, he's going to go after our family. So if you have an attack on your family, understand it's because of really of your fortitude. And again, God will be there for your family as well. I love also, sister, when you said, I always used to say, you know, Louisa says, or Jesus says to Louisa and to us, but I like the way you said it. Jesus tells us through Louisa, which I think is more accurate. Last but not least, you know, when we're talking about that God doesn't give it to us in its totality like Louisa, I wasn't saying that he couldn't. God can do anything he wants. He could if he wants to. And maybe he is. We don't know. We don't know who's living, who's not living, who's living perfectly, imperfectly, completely. We don't know. And honestly, it's really not our business to know. We don't have to know. But all we do know is, though, that that God gives us what he wants to give us, what he wants to give us. It's mystical grace. And mystical gifts are not given equally, like our baptismal gifts. They're given by God to whomever God wishes, when he wishes, to what extent he wishes. And he wishes that we receive this gift now. And we're going to find out later after the break why, the reasons. I mean, there's some stuff coming up along the pike ahead of us, and we have to be prepared. And God is giving us the antidote for any poison that may come before us. He says, that's it. We've arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Radio Maria. Again, this is what a wonderful opportunity to be together, to be on Radio Maria, a Catholic voice in our home. And Radio Maria is 100% listener supported. So I have to give this time, which is so necessary for Radio Maria. There's a Mariathon that's quickly approaching, which will be from October 9th to the 13th. We ask you, please, to be as generous as you can. And the great news about that is Jesus knows what we can and cannot do. So if we cannot do it, that God doesn't expect us to do it. But if we can do it, as he says to us, he's spying on us, he's watching, he knows. So again, please be charitable. And if you can be charitable, we will also be as charitable as we can and offer some gifts. And we would like to offer, for anyone making a donation, to radiomaria.us or by calling 888-408-0201. We will offer two gifts, actually, an I Am Catholic card, which is about the size of a credit card. It'll basically say, in case of an emergency, please call a priest. It has the act of contrition on the back, beginning with come to my will, pray am I praying. And, hopefully you don't need this card, but maybe someone that you know may need it. That's number one. Number two, we will offer also a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta, and it contains a piece of Luisa's clothing. Again, a relic of Luisa, astonishing. And again, this is free. It's a gift. But please be generous. Call Radio Maria at 888-408-0201 or go to radiomaria.us. Again, you can be listening live. You can be listening to the archives. The gift offer is still available. Actually, the gift offer is available even past the marathon, past the Mariathon, past now. Anytime you hear it, please give. Basically, the Mariathon is 365 days a year, and we have to remember that. Thanks be to God for Radio Maria. Thanks for the opportunity to bring the School of Mary to each and every one of you. So back to you, Mother and the sisters, and I think Sister Descent is next in the queue. Hello, Sister.
Hello. So what I like to share today connects with what Mother was saying earlier about the Eucharist.
Everything connects with what Mother says. You can't not connect with Mother.
Yeah, everything, yes, and the divine will, everything connects. So just a portion from the Hours of the Passion, the fourth hour from the Reflections and Practices. Please, O Jesus, let all that I say and do be a continuous consecration of yourself and me and in souls. Sweet life of mine, when you come into me, let my every heartbeat, desire, affection, thought and word feel the power of the sacramental consecration, so that being consecrated, all my little being may become as many hosts in order to give you to souls. O Jesus, sweet love of mine, may I be your little host in order to enclose all of yourself in me like a living host. So when we live in the divine will, we become these living hosts where Jesus dwells within us. And this also connects with what St. Faustina wrote in the diary of St. Faustina, where Jesus wanted her to be a living host. And also, as it was mentioned earlier, our desire is so important. We have to desire for Jesus to do these acts and rounds in us. And we also have to have faith and confidence that, yes, Jesus is really doing these acts and rounds in the divine will in us. Even if we don't see it, we have to have a lot of faith. And also, I'm connecting with confidence. There's a little passage from August 20th, 1913, from volume 11, where Jesus talks about how one who lives in the divine will must have trust, simplicity, and detachment in giving herself unreservedly to all. So Jesus tells us through Luisa, my daughter, my will contains every possible blessing, and the soul who lives in my will needs to act with confidence, conducting herself as co-heir with me of all I possess. Creatures expect everything from this soul, and if they don't receive it, they feel cheated. But how can she give so much if she does not work united with me in complete confidence? That is why the soul who lives my will needs trust in giving, simplicity in communicating herself to all, and detachment from herself, so that she can live completely for me and for her neighbor, and that is how I am. So reading this passage, it really reminded me of being childlike, of just having confidence in God the Father. I'm just saying, here are all my acts, God the Father, I give it to you. As a little child, I rest on your paternal lap. And also to just look at the confidence of Our Lady in the Incarnation. She said, fiat voluntas tua, God's will be done. Even though she didn't know like every little thing that would happen after that, she had trust, confidence, and faith that what God said would happen, and that her and that in the Incarnation, when God would become incarnate in her womb, that she would still remain a virgin and that she is giving birth to the Messiah of the world. And Our Lady is a really great example of just having confidence and also just persevering in living in the divine will.
I love that word childlike, because we do have to, because, you know, children, think about it. I mean, they don't stand up and say, wait a minute, you know, a 5-year-old doesn't say, wait a minute, what are you telling me to eat for? They accept usually from their, or at least they used to, maybe not modern day, you know, what their mother and father says. And that's so beautiful about that. And I also ask God too, God, may I be childlike? And can I also mix it a little bit? Can I be childish a little bit once in a while? And he hasn't responded yet, so I'm not sure. But also Sister Jacinta used that same phrase. Jesus tells us through Luisa. I mean, am I the last one? Am I the only one not coining this phrase? Thank you, sisters, for reminding me on that. Hello, Sister Elizabeth. Usually you go before the break. It's so nice to have you after the break.
Yeah, it's so nice.
We're married for different reasons.
Yeah, speaking about childlike, I was just reading before the adoration, the novena to Saint Therese, Little Flower, and it was just a beautiful reflection. She was talking about, you know, the how she has a really great desire for holiness, but she feels like, compared to the other saints, like a grain of sand compared to the high mountains. But it's the abandonment, you know. Jesus is her elevator, and I have just the passage that talks kind of about that, from volume 36, June 12, 1938. So Jesus telling to Lisa, my good daughter, I love creatures very much, but I feel more captured, won, and attracted to love the soul that lives abandoned in my arms, as if she had nobody in the world, only her Jesus, trusting me and me only. If she is offered other kinds of support, she refuses them. To have only the support of her Jesus, who holds her tightly in his arms, defending her and taking care of her completely. These are the souls that I love very, very much, my favorite ones. I surround them with my divine power. I build around them the wall of my love. Woe to those who touch them. My love will know how to defend them, and my power will know how to topple those who want to displease her. The souls abandoned in me live only of me and I of them, as if we lived on one breath and one love. If some human support arises, they look into it to see if I'm there, and if I'm not, they run away to find shelter in my arms. Only these are the souls I can really trust. Confide to them my secrets and lean on them as well. I am certain that they do not get out of my will, because they are always with me. The one who doesn't live abandoned in me, instead, runs away from my arms. She does not refuse human supports. Rather, she gets a taste for them. She is inconstant. One moment she looks for me, another for creatures. She is forced to feel the disillusion from creatures that opens deep gashes in the soul, and she feels the earth in her heart. My will as life, far away from herself. Oh, if everyone abandoned themselves in my arms, the earth would disappear for them. They wouldn't pay attention to anybody. I would be enough for all. I love so much the one who lives abandoned in my arms that I show her the greatest excesses of my love. my love jokes, my caresses. I reached the point of inventing new love tricks to keep them busy and centered in my love. Therefore, live abandoned in my arms, and in everything you will find your Jesus defending, helping, and sustaining you. So this is just a beautiful passage, and the complete abandonment in Jesus, and really the more and more we are like getting in a deeper relationship with him, he will be like stripping us from everything else, maybe, you know, something that we were like exaggeratedly like giving importance to, even the creatures, even the even regarding about the divine will, like Jesus is telling us, like read the volumes, he himself will be teaching us, like not to depend on any human person, a teacher. So yes, and also what struck me connected to this from the novena of Saint Therese, today's reflection was entitled Motherhood for Priests, and it is just really connected, because today we were offering the mass for the priests in the purgatory, for the souls of the deceased priests, and it's really so important, like to pray for them, because like really they have this anointment for they are during the sacraments, they are in persona Christi, and it was just written like Saint Therese was saying to this to her spiritual director, to this one father, like she's not able to do great things, like to go like the priest in to fight, to evangelize, you know, to fight for God. She's living in hiddenness, but she said she doesn't need to, because her brothers, the priests, will do it for her, and she will just be like remain hidden, to be like she's telling to this priest, you will be fighting and I will be loving, you know, like in your place. And she said you will be like Joshua on a battlefield, and I will be your little Moses, whose arms Jesus is holding up, you know, who will be constantly pleading to heaven. And it just reminded me how in another passage Jesus was telling to Luisa how those living in the divine will, I mean, it's so hidden, it's so interior, that, you know, they are like the steps of the missionary, the words of the evangelizers, and you know, and so on, like in they are in this act, you know, in the divine will.
Yes, and we have to understand also, as the world gravitates away from God, and as we gravitate to God, you know, we become targets for the enemy. And who are the biggest? Who's got the biggest bullseye on their back? It's the priests. It's the mother superiors. It's the sisters. Because again, when you get a leader in the faith, you get the flock usually. So we all have to be very careful with that. But again, God's going to give us, Jesus says to Luisa, Jesus tells us through Luisa, how's that? That grace anticipates the soul. So when we need the grace, we will have it at the moment we need it. Perhaps that's how the martyrs say, how can St. Lawrence, you know, many say with a smile on his face as he's being burned, say, turn me over, I'm done. I mean, you have to have mystical grace. You've got to be given these graces by God. No human can do that. And, you know, we use the example of Peter walking on water. You know, people don't walk on water. But again, to you, I don't know who one of the sisters mentioned, we have to ask for it. He asked, Peter asked, if you're the Messiah, call me. Yeah, okay, come. So when we do ask, and God, he explains, I don't know what volume it's in, but he says, I made all of creation mute. All of creation is just a mirror to give us a glimpse of God. but they can't speak. So actually, Jesus says, I like to hear words. Now, that could be verbal, or if we can't speak verbally, it can be subliminal. But God wants us to, he wants to hear our words. He's amused by our wretchedness, not our sinfulness deliberately, but our inability to do anything well. Right, Mother?
Thank goodness.
That reminded me of Cora Ten Boom. She, in the movie The Hiding Place, and the book written about that, she said when she was a little girl, her father would read the stories of the lives of the martyrs to them. And she told her dad one day, she said, I don't think I'd ever have the grace to be martyred. He said, well, Corey, when I give you a ticket to go on the train to Amsterdam, do I give it to you in advance? She says, no, you give it to me the day I'm going to go, so I won't lose it. He said, well, that's how it is with God. He gives you the grace for martyrdom or for whatever you need at the moment you need it, because if he gives it to you ahead of time, you may lose it. So you're praying for your loved ones and you don't see them changing. But maybe God's waiting because he knows if he gives them the grace for conversion now, they'll lose it. He'll give it to them on their deathbed, perhaps, or you know, you won't even know about it. Because Our Lady in Medjugorje said, even after a person dies, Jesus presents himself to that soul and they can reject him or accept him. So even pagans, even atheists can be saved if they at that moment accept Jesus. So if they're good people, their hearts are in the right place, they will make the right decision. Evil people don't want to be with God, so they'll make the other decision. So, you know, people said, well, you know, I don't think my loved ones were saved because I didn't see the conversion, but maybe the conversion after, right after, happened right after death. You know, they just said that they can still be saved right after death. Yeah. A soul is there before God and they can choose him or reject him.
I remember also when Jesus closes the door to heaven, our Blessed Mother opens the window to heaven.
Yeah, his mother was speaking, and then you were speaking before, Peter, about, you know, who's at the front line of the attacks, the priest and the religious, and it just kind of led me to think, even like all those living in the divine will, you know, by living in the divine will, we're living for every soul, past, present, and future, not because we can on our own power, but because Jesus is living in us, and everything that Jesus does is for every soul. And there was one passage where he tells Louisa, like, you're even called to suffer, you know, for every soul, past, present, and future. You know, obviously, you know, as creatures, we're incapable of suffering, you know, everything, every soul has suffered, past, present, and future, but Jesus is suffering in us, and he gives us. I was thinking the other day, Our Lady drank fully of the chalice of his bitterness at the foot of the cross. And he assigns each of us a little chalice too, you know, that he's asking us to drink to the full. And that chalice is full of the crosses that we're called to suffer, you know, even our very weaknesses and miseries, not necessarily, you know, the moral weaknesses and miseries, not necessarily our sinfulness, but you know, the struggles that we have, maybe the moods that we go through, you know, if we think in those moments, like that may be the grace that a dying soul needs. Like Mother was just saying, you know, at the point of death, Jesus allows them to choose. Maybe some days when all of a sudden a bad mood comes upon me out of nowhere, rather than, you know, flagellate myself, you know, what's wrong with you? You've been blessed in so many ways. Why are you feeling this mood? But maybe stopping and thinking, well, maybe I'm suffering this mood. I'm suffering this attack for somebody who's dying right now, so they don't have to suffer the attack of the evil one. Or maybe if I'm suffering temptations towards whatever it might be, whether it's, you know, lust or gluttony or lack of charity or jealousy or envy, you know, temptations are not sins until we hand over our will to them. So suffering a temptation doesn't mean we're falling into sin. Maybe we're suffering that temptation, you know, for a soul who's suicidal and wants to end their life right at that very moment, or we're suffering it for a soul who's about to fall into sin. I know Faustina, I remember that a lot, that touched me in her diary that she went through that. So, you know, that's just something to keep in mind when we go through these inner turmoils, you know, rather than beat ourselves up or kind of drive ourselves crazy and, you know, what's going on with me, what's going on with me. Just like Peter was supposed to, just keep your eyes fixed on the Lord, not his Sacred Heart, and place yourself at the feet of Jesus, you know, drinking that chalice together with Our Lady that he's asking you to drink, you know, to comfort him in his sufferings, but also, you know, to help your brothers and sisters that may need that grace at that moment. In heaven, it doesn't feel like it at the time. We don't feel the fruits. That's one of the things St. Therese talks about. She goes, I don't want to see any of my fruits now. I want to see it all in heaven. She wanted to be totally poor in spirit. So don't worry about seeing the fruits. Don't worry about feeling something, but you know, in the divine will, just offer that up to the Lord. All right, I just talked a lot. I don't know if there's time. I don't know if Mother, you had something to read. I'll read this passage just quickly. It's from volume 35, November 29th. Jesus tells us, to Louisa, how hard it is to love when one is not loved. How I wish that everybody knew that my love sustains them, that I hug them, love them, and make them breathe. I love them and I give them a heartbeat. I love them and I give them speech. I love them and I give them their stride. I love them and I give them motion, thinking, food, and water. All that they are and receive is the effect of my flowing love. So is it not terribly ungrateful not to love me? It makes a martyr of our love because we have loved and we are not loved in return. And to me, that's the whole point of the acts and rounds, you know, recognizing Jesus's love, God's love all around us in creation, all that he did in redemption, you know, in every act that we're doing throughout the day, recognizing that love so we can love him back in return, not just for us, but in the divine will. Remember, we're also doing it for all souls, past, present, and future.
Wow. Thank you, sister.
I don't know if we have more time. Do we have more time?
Got about 3 minutes, Mother.
Okay. Volume 16, August 9th, 1923. Back on the rounds. And our Lord was saying, my daughter, the human will has covered with clouds the whole atmosphere in such a way that thick darkness hangs over all creatures, and almost all of them walk limping and groping. We see that today in society. Things gone wrong, terrible sins everywhere. Society is covered with a thick darkness that hangs over them, and every action they do without the connection of the divine will intensifies this darkness, and man becomes more blind because the light, the sun of the human will, is the divine will. Without it, there is not light for the creature. Now, one who works, prays, walks, etc., in my will, rises above this darkness, and as she works, prays, speaks, piercing these thick clouds, she sends flashes of light over all the earth, such as to shake those who live down at the bottom of their will, preparing their souls to receive the light, the sun of the divine will. This is why I care so much that you live in my will, that you may prepare a heaven of light, which sending continuous flashes of light may dispel this heaven of darkness that the human will has formed over their heads in such a way that possessing the light of my will, they may love it, and my will loved may reign upon earth. So as we do our acts and rounds in divine will, this light goes around the world to touch every soul that's open to the grace. How do we change the world? By living in his divine will. How do you live in his divine will? You got to read the volumes. You got to read the volumes to know the knowledge of it. And you fall in love with these knowledges. You fall in love with him. And these knowledges only scratching the surface. For all eternity in heaven, every moment we'll be learning something new about God, and it'll never come to an end. For all eternity, that's how great a God we have. Don't want to miss heaven. We've got a great God. You want to be with him for all eternity. He wants you to be there with him at his side. So, you know, work at it, read it, do it, do the divine acts and rounds, and you're going to be changing the whole world every moment with this light that you're going to send across the globe to change every soul and every heart that's open to the grace.
Amen. You're right, Mother. And again, acts and rounds, and file acts and rounds under M for Mother. I appreciate you constantly reminding us, because that's really our job. That was Adam's job. That was Eve's job. And when Adam fell, of course, he could not complete the job. So God's asking us to step in the breach, to do what Adam didn't do.
One thing I want to add is, a visionary I know saw the word Mary written in the heaven, and Our Lady revealed to her, M-A-R-Y means Mother always remembers you. Our Lady always remembers you.
Love that. Love that. Okay, we're going to close with this, Mother. Jesus speaking through Louisa to us. You must know that the soul who here on earth lets my will live within her as she prays, as she suffers, as she works, as she loves, forms a sweet enchantment to my divine pupils. End quote. God's watching everything we do. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Thank you, Mother, sisters. Love you. God willing. Bye. See you next Thursday. Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao. Ciao. Ciao. Ciao.